Hello and welcome to Tribal Research Specialists, the podcast, where we will be talking about important things.
Got it.
I don't know. They both sound the same. I hear no difference. Something's going on now, though. I hear something buzzing around.
You're buzzing around.
I was buzzing around.
You're coming time, hot.
Gas was a dollar. Yeah. You got a bunch of stuff in a box still. Probably.
No, I don't. It's right there. It's put together.
No, I mean from moving. You still got stuff in a box from moving.
No, I don't. I do. Yeah. I mean, it's not like everything's unpacked. It's just not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. There's stuff that just stays in a box. It don't have a place but that box. Like all the shower curtains you ever bought, still in a box.
Still in a box.
Because you don't really need more than one shower curtain unless you got two bathrooms. But what are you going to do with all those extra shower curtains? You ain't going to throw them away. No way.
You never know.
Because you never know. What you got there?
These are Luke's cuffs and armbands.
Oh, nice. Very
peachy.
Look at that.
Keen.
Nice. Who did those for you?
Nobody. The pawn shop. We went
systematic oppression did it for me.
We said you ain't getting you ain't get a custom job until you quit growing.
Yeah, no kidding. That's got to stop. It's got to stop.
It's a bit redonk.
I know. You let them go as long as they can in a pair of shorts, and they start looking like them 1960s basketball players, and you're like, okay. Try to upgrade your shorts now. Time to upgrade.
I seen a guy today wearing cutoff jean shorts, and he was my age. And I thought, whoa, dude.
That's your future, man.
It was like, so you're just giving up, huh? That's how I felt. Like, yeah, you just... calling her quits.
Yeah. I mean, that's not... I was going to say, you know, you go for comfort, but that's not really comfortable. That's more cheap.
No, they're not, man.
That's more cheap than comfortable.
I remember cutoff jean shorts were like the go-to for swimming.
Oh, God. Yeah, they were.
Yeah. We were talking about the other day, too. Like, Indian kids are the only people on the planet who have... swimming shirts. Yeah. He always had a couple of buddies that they refused to take their shirt off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So they had their swimming shirt.
Oh, yeah.
For you guys over there, it's probably, it said Vanderburg Camp 88 on it or something.
Yeah. ITYP Summer Camp 83. Sleeves are cut off.
When's the first time you heard somebody refer to themselves as Salish?
That's what we always called ourselves.
You mean it when you were young, like it wasn't normal just to say flathead?
I mean, you heard that term, but everybody knew that we were Salish.
I know that, but I mean, I guess what I'm asking is when did you start hearing it, like the shift from flathead to Salish?
Oh yeah, an effort to change the narrative.
Yeah, because I'm sure people always knew it was Salish, but
yeah, and everybody referred to each other as Salish and all that business. But it probably wasn't until maybe the late '80s or early '90s. That's just a guess. Maybe around that time where people started to try to abandon the flathead term. Some people still hold on to it pretty dearly. They don't want to give it up.
Well, I've heard people make arguments for it.
Right. When I talk to people and they ask me where I'm from, they're asking me where, you know, what flavor are you? You know, you say Salish and, oh, where from? And you say, well, Montana. And then you could tell they're really confused. Like, what? Because when you say the word Salish.
They should be.
Yeah. When they say Salish.
They should be.
Yeah. They often think of the coast. The coast.
Because you're a goddamn flathead. Let's just get it over with.
So then I have to drop this the flathead card. So people more closely refer to us as flatheads. Oh, okay. Then they know and they get it.
Could you just say I'm Salish from the Flathead Reds?
I could, yeah. But
that.
Yeah, I could do that. I'll do that. Okay, for you, I'll try to clarify that. People can hone in on it.
Just tell them. Just say I got a crow buddy. He doesn't like it that I'm trying to act bougie, so he wants me to refer to it as I'm Salish from the Flathead Riz.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a problem. He's got
a problem with leather work. Hey, are we started?
Yeah. No, I just started recording right when we got on, you know.
That's an old Salish trick.
Old Salish trick from the Flathead Indian Reservation, established in 1855 via the Hellgate Treaty, signed by five to eight different tribes at the time. Shortly after in which the Lame Bull Treaty was, or the Judah the River Treaty was signed, which pretty much overwrote much of our Aboriginal territories and divvied out many of the prime hunting grounds to other tribes into the east,
including the Crow Indians.
Including, yes, the Crows to the east. Now, this is a funny thing. This is a funny thing about anywhere you go. Well, maybe not anywhere, but in a lot of places you go, there's that one white guy that kind of lives in the heart of the res and knows a lot of things.
Yep.
Might be seeped in the traditional ways in more than one aspect, right? So they have a good understanding of protocols and traditions, and they're not one to go bragging around about what they do and what they know, as would a traditional person, the demeanor of a traditional person. I don't know. Is that a demeanor of a traditional person? I'm making a lot of assumptions.
I don't know.
Maybe they're braggy, you know, they're just like all over the place, you know, like, yeah, I got this pipe. It's one of the best pipes around. It's powerful.
I could start fires with my pipe.
You guys want some money? Forest fire money? I'll start your fire.
Yeah.
You just point at the mountain. We'll get it going.
Get them old Miff guys out there.
Get some Miff. Remember crews. Miff? Yeah, yeah. The Miff crews, Montana Indian firefighter. Called something else now. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they are braggy. I mean, that was a thing, though, right? Oh, yeah, I don't know. In the tribal ground pounders, I don't know what they're called. They're
ground pounders.
I don't know how much. Yeah, anyway, we could talk about that later.
I'm attempting to be a leather tool guy.
I see you're quite busy. You trying to, well, you know what you got to do first? You got to dye that leather. That's what you got to do first.
Oh, it works, man.
Yeah.
So I'm making side bells.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make side bells, but I'm going to do it a little different. I got a stamping roller. Like it puts a little floral design into the leather.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm going to condition the leather.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I'm going to get it nice and conditioned.
Okay.
And then I'm going to edge it. I'm going to edge the leather.
Gotcha.
This takes that edge off the side of the leather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, make it look, bevels make it, it look, make it look like a white guy did it, you know? And the very white guy you're talking about, you know? And what?
Well, you know, so you gotta dye that because the flesh color, you know, the flesh.
You don't want to go with the nude?
Don't go the nude. No, no, no.
No.
You gotta darken it. Well, no, well, do what you like want. Do what you want.
That no, would be you're getting a bit elitist ever since you've been in Canada.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah. I'm going to pay attention now. I just was doing this because I actually didn't know we were recording.
Oh, yeah, we started, man. We're on it. We're on top of it. We're 15 but minutes
I gotta
in.
I got to condition this. It's all about the condition.
What is the conditioner for, honestly? What is the conditioner?
It softens the leather.
Oh.
It's for restoring and softening leather. It's, you want to do it, you know, you want to do it before you start working that leather. So
as you've done before.
You know, these are customs passed down generations, you know.
Okay, we're going to talk about not today. And I got a homework assignment for you. I want you to watch this movie just out about
Prey.
Yeah. You watched that?
No,
we're going to talk about it. No, cuz we're going to have fun talking about it. It's going to be a good one. Cuz I watched.
Is it good?
Well, I mean, this is the thing with Indians. You can't make an Indian show that's going to satisfy Indians. It's just not, because I don't know who they hire to consult on certain things, but as soon as they flash a date, say, you know, this is 1719, then you start picking out everything. Ah, they didn't have that. No, you didn't have that. That wasn't a thing, you know.
I will say an Indian movie that I liked that was completely inaccurate. But I enjoyed it. Was Last of the Dogmen?
Oh no,
dude! I remember when that came out.
No,
I
just no.
Yeah,
you can't. We're gonna lose a star. We're gonna lose a star rating because of that. You're joking.
We're gonna lose a star rating. We're gonna lose a star rating because we don't put out content.
True. Both true. Yeah, the mythical land beyond the waterfall. Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
I guess. I don't know. I'd have to watch it again to set it.
This is pre-YouTube, dude. Like,
it is,
you gotta remember, man.
I know.
You're thinking of it like now, you know?
Yeah.
You're woke, you know? This is pre-woke.
Okay. All right. We'll drop it. It's cool. I don't like it. It's cool, but if you put it in the time period, I suppose. Anyway, you're going to watch that. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about some things.
There's already noticed. Issues I know with it. I watched the trailer, dude.
Okay.
And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
But I'll watch it. We'll watch it. Let's get back to white people. So we're doing this.
I don't know what my point was.
I had Josh lined up for a podcast last Wednesday, and you never.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember we said Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. What happened? Oh, you didn't phone me. I thought you said
I'll phone you. You never sent me a link.
You said, I'll phone you. I'll phone you if it's a okay. Go.
First of all, I've never said the word phone. I've never said I'll phone you in my life.
That's what was supposed to happen. I was waiting for the phone call. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't get a hold of him or something. I'll take it. I'll take the blame. And the phone thing, well, yeah, probably just made that up.
I'm going to give you the blame either way.
Okay. Well.
Well.
All right.
I think you know deep down I've never said that in my life.
Yeah, probably. I'll agree. Let's agree to disagree on that one.
I ate during Big Sky State games. I ate dinner with John.
Oh yeah,
former guest of the podcast. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So we don't do music anymore on this or no?
We do. I put it in there. Here's the tune I was gonna put in there.
Okay, I'm putting this down.
All right. This is a good tune. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Feel it. Yep. Gotta get some of those in there. Yeah. That tune, I never heard it before. It was on an old tape from some guy who was, I don't know, just recorded some various songs from here. This was probably in the 50s. And of course, there was visitors and all that around these parts. And this guy, I don't think it even says his name. Maybe it says the name, but I can't remember right off. This guy's from Rocky Boy, though, and he's singing that tune.
Rocky Boys?
Yeah, Rocky Boys.
Well, it definitely has that, the what would you call it, the melody?
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, you could tell that song's probably from, like, the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, you just mentioned it that one time. It made a lot of sense. You know, the radio became popular. More songs were kind of coming into the head. You know, mainstream songs like, you know, country and western and all that Christmas.
Well, and song. Different, like, yeah, different melody structures.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So if you look at the evolution of music, so when you get into like the 20s and 30s, to me, those songs were sung for the 50 to 60 years before that. Then you get the radio and television, everything's popping up. So yeah. It's introducing young composers to like a new melody structure, our new meter. Yeah. So you're starting to get like real European influence rhythm into the way your vocables are, your straight part is. I mean, right. You have to know singing, though, I think, to even see that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think
you would have to know it pretty good. They, so
they don't come from the spirits no more. The spirits use a whole different scale in that way.
Yeah, it's, dang.
Unless you get them.
I mean, let's
them
just
European,
they can't sing.
The European spirits, the spirit of the European. Song. Anyway, I cut you off. Go.
Well, I was just gonna say, because I like this topic a lot, is singing. You know, there's a debate among singers all the time, a constant debate. In fact, a constant criticism of each other, really. So when you sit at the drum, there's this constant critique. Sometimes it's an educated critique. Sometimes it's just hatred. But of singing style, the original style of singing versus contemporary. But that's really based on like three, maybe four drum groups from a certain time, and I would put that Eagle Whistle, you know.
Okay.
Probably Badlands.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know, I'm not that old, so Mandarin, what we call original style singing,
right,
is really those drum groups. And it appears, if you trace it, it's all modeled after one or two people's personal style of singing.
You think so
I actually think that Eagle Whistle, during their time, people were probably going, oh, those are those new guys. Like, that's how they sing now.
You're right. Yeah, you can hear it, too, in some of the old recordings from old powwow recordings back in the 60s and 50s, you know. You can hear the ones that come from 30s and 40s, you know, then the newer ones. They sing so high. Holy cow, man.
Oh, really real high.
Really high. Yeah, even higher than that. Go higher.
But it's like crazy sounding.
Yeah.
But I will say that the style of
no, it's gonna go higher. Go one higher. You can do it. There it is. Yeah.
I was gonna say though, I think if there's any drum group today or in the last 15 years that I would say sounds like original style singing, the way the song is composed, the way the beat is, and we're getting into nuances, right? Of like singing.
Right.
To me, it's probably Battle River.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think if we're talking about original style and we're talking about original style being in a certain era, you know? Yeah, I think you're right. So original style, if you're talking about the 70s, 80s, 70s, 60s and 70s. I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree. No, I disagree.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Do it.
I don't think so.
Tell me.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like the signature of the 60s and 70s. That really high, almost not. What is the sound? You know, when the song really bounces, you know, you could hear the bounce in the voice. Some of the music from the 60s and 70s doesn't really have that. It seemed like it's just really high and not bouncy. Maybe I'm just thinking of particular songs, but I think like you're talking about Battle River and Mandaree, I think that it evolved into something different.
I think Battle River the 80s and Mandaree, to me, sound way different.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think Battle River, if you were to take Battle River in 1885, those people would be like, I can listen to this. If you drop them off in 1960, they'll say, I can listen to this. You drop them off in 1995, people be like, I can listen to this. That's what I mean by Battle River and that sound. Right. I think you're talking more about how high people sing.
Well, I mean, in a way, yes, but also that was
I am not talking about that.
Well, that was the signature. You're talking about song composition, the composition of the song.
The way the song is, way songs are made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a certain song structure, like the way it's made. Like, in fact, to me, who encompasses that, like that sound of like the way they, the drum sounds, the tempo, and the way the song is structurally put together.
Yeah.
To me, that's like old agency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that. We're like the melodic stuff runs instead of like now it hits. Yeah. Hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Songs hit now. Like the way they're made, they hit.
I get you. Yeah.
Where old agency, Blackfoot Crossing, even like Nighthawk, them old Nighthawk guys, their songs run.
Yeah.
In fact, if you get a young singer who sings with a drum group that sings like that, like Indian Nation, they'll think that those guys are singing on the beat on certain parts of the song. Because of the way the song runs, like it carries itself, right?
Yeah.
Like this is really fine. Like there's no way you could play a tune that like we're talking about, right? And versus something new.
Right now.
You couldn't do that. We couldn't show the listener that what we're talking about.
Yeah, we could do that, I think.
What do you got? What do you got? What do you got for old agency?
Maybe not right off. Let me look. Maybe I got something. Let's see.
I don't have any old
I like agency this kicking around. I don't have any old agency.
It's summertime. Around. I like singing. It's summertime, and I just like to, like, around here.
Yeah.
While you're doing that, I'll give you an example. Okay. Around here in Crow Country, people will say, like, sing that song Crow style. But what they're not realizing they're saying is sing that song how Cedric Walks would sing. Because what we would define as the signature Crow style of singing really came from one guy, Cedric Walks. Because prior to that, like Warren Bearcloud, Perry Pretty Paint, Amos Sees the Ground, these kind of legends here, they had a certain style of singing.
Yeah.
And it was probably fairly intertribal. You know what I mean? It was recognizable other places.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the Crow style of singing became the Nighthawk style, you know, Nighthawk drum group.
Yeah. Okay, here's an example. I get what you're saying.
Okay, let's hear it.
Here's an example. Okay. I don't know how this is going to work.
Oh, yeah.
Here's old agency singers of the Blood Reserve.
Yep.
Just pulling this straight from YouTube.
Your mute's on the YouTube video.
Is it? Oh, yeah. No, I'm not playing it yet. I'm building up.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. This is the YouTube. Let's give some credit here so we don't get any copyright trouble here again. I don't know. Is that a thing?
We can throw the link. We could. No.
Yeah, dude. This is.
We can throw
is,
the link.
Yeah, we'll throw we'll the link throw the in the link notes. On the, here it is. The here, show notes. Let's listen to it. We're listening to The Run. The Run. This is the one you said the song runs. Are you ready?
The song runs. Let's listen to this drum group.
Can you hear it?
No. Oh, yep. I can hear it.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh, that sounds good.
That's how you should sing.
Yeah.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey,
yeah. Hear the run. No hard stops. Oh, yeah. That gets you. Oh, yeah, that gets you. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm tearing up a little bit, I think. Okay, now let's. Okay.
Woo!
Okay.
Soak that in a little bit.
God dang, all right. Let's show the comparison now. The comparison is
man.
That's pretty good, huh? What? Okay.
That's a damn.
Now we're showing a comparison. What was the comparison? The choppy. The more original style that's popular today.
I wouldn't call it choppy, but I would call it.
Not choppy. It hits
different. So go. Let's look up Young Bear. Young Bear, like one of the baddest groups around. I love their sound. I love their sound.
Oh, album.
Go to an album. Yeah, that way we can. It's polished, you know, for the listener.
All right.
Go to There was one that was called Born to Sing, like an album they come out with called Born to Sing. Right, so put Young Bear Born to Sing or something.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
There it
is. And I know some of these guys.
There it is. Okay.
Okay, go down. There's one called Upper Crossing, which I think is influenced by Bronson McDonald, the late Bronson McDonald. I'm not sure because he used to have a drum group called Lower Crossing. Upper Crossing. Was kind of connected with these guys.
Let's check it out.
Right there.
Okay.
It's a good song.
All right. Let's make sure we... Here goes. Juxtapose. The previous.
Okay, press pause for a second.
Okay. Yeah, what is it?
That's a bad example because that song sounds badass, dude.
It does. Yeah, I mean, you can hear obviously the difference because of the era, but let's
the
go.
The era, like the song, that song does have a lot of that original style of running, like the way the song runs.
Yeah.
So you know who really has that sound, that the hard hitting running or like hitting the corners is High Noon. High Noon, I would say High Noon. Of course, like Mystic River, probably you could see some of that older influence in them.
I think so.
Some in different eras with Dry Lake, John and the Boys, you know? Yeah. Like,
well, here's some High Noon from...
style.
Okay.
Oh, do that. Just do that one right there. I think that one's probably a good one. I don't know.
That's some High Noon. This is 2000, so that's a couple decades ago. Wow.
But dude. Archives much.
Here we go. Yeah. Good, but you can hear the...
You can already hear it.
Yeah, this was that bounce I was talking about. Kind of real bouncy. Yeah, real bouncy. Which is good. I mean, not to say it's bad. It's just,
no,
this is kind of what... Sometimes what I think people think original style sounds like.
Yeah, bouncy. So this is more... This is better than my Young Bear example.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, I mean, but there's something about it. It's badass.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good. But it doesn't hit the same as some of the older stuff. Hits good, though. This would get you going.
It's a great recording.
It kind of makes you angry. Thinking about your ex or something. It's like, oh.
But you see how this song.
Guy you didn't like in high school. No, it's getting anywhere. What? What? Yeah.
It would be nice to compare this song. Like if there is, man, I don't know. So if there's a way we could find an old recording of like, say, Blackfoot Crossing or Old Agency, even Mandarin or something, singing a song and then compare it to a drum group now singing it. And you could hear, I think you would hear that. Because even the style in which we sing because of the contest. Because of contest singing, we enunciate and like we want to attack the song. Like we boom.
Yeah.
Hey, you know?
Yeah. That's the contest influence.
Yeah. Well, because now singing, what most people don't know about powwow singing is that it's just as much visual in the contest as it is audio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the look of the drum group, like the.
Yeah.
Do they seem into it? Are they? Yeah. So go back to that Old Agency and play that over again. Let's.
You want
to
start from the beginning? I know the listeners
probably don't want to hear this, but I do. Okay. This is our podcast.
I'm gonna start it. Yeah. I'm gonna start it back where we had it.
Yeah, dude, do it, man.
Oh yeah. Listen to that. They're gonna make it.
Oh, they're gonna jump it up a gear.
Yeah. You can still feel the bounce, but it's a different type of bounce. Like you said, it kind of runs. I wonder if it's just the song, too. Might be just the song that lends to that.
Man, this is classic sounding.
It is. Yeah. These are all the non-contest drums that set up. This is their sound. Because they're not trying to win the big money. They're just singing, man. Sounds good. It's just a different era, you know. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
If you really listen to the way the song is put together, it lacks that ability to hit it hard, like to hit those corners, because the song doesn't even allow for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's not just the way we sing, it's the actual structure of the song is designed for the singing contest.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Now we need to listen to a song from the era prior to this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I could pull one from there, but...
Cheyenne Wardent songs. You remember them old...
old Indian house.
In fact, let's go to clicking Crow Wardent songs. Like, all right. There should be something set up there on the YouTubes. Right there.
The YouTube.
This is fun.
Oops, I put Ward. Crow War Dance song. Oh,
well, there's that too.
Yeah, you got to spell there's it right.
That too.
No. Oh, here it is.
No,
this one.
No. It's Crow right songs. There. Sound Chiefs. Crow down songs. Here. There you go.
Yeah.
Just give it a click. See. Let's.
Yeah.
I would venture to say this is going to be a little more similar to what you would know in Flathead.
Yeah.
Like early 40s, 50s sound, but this is more.
I've heard this and I agree. I've heard this and I agree.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though this is probably recorded in the 70s, this.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a good song.
It is. Song still sung.
It is.
Yeah. Smooth. Like four people singing. Versus today, you got 12 max. You're maxing out at 12 singers. 10 to 9 at the least for the contest.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. All right, just a quick break here to thank some of our sponsors, especially Wild Gallery, WYLD.GALLERY. Wild Gallery, thank you for supporting the show. And thank you to past sponsor, Louise Erdrich. Thank you both for your continued contributions and your past contributions to keep the show on the air. Thank you. Well, you're good. You're trancing out, man. You good?
Oh, dude.
Good.
But you get what I'm saying about the beat? Where a young singer will probably think that beat's taken off from the song.
Yeah.
But it's the way the song is composed carries the beat. So what it is and this just came to me, the way songs are composed then is you have to sing the song to stay on the beat. Where now your song is influenced by the beat, so like you're like the beat is it, the even the beat is choppier, and that's real, like we're way in the weeds now, but a listener in percussion, like my brother would say, the attack, listen to the attack. We're like, when you listen to these guys sing or Badlands sing, it's almost like the drumstick bounces off the drum, where with even straight singing now, it like attacks the drum. Like it's like ba 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 ba.
Yeah.
Where this, it just kind of like they just let it ricochet off the drum. And that's, I think that bounciness you're talking about is dictated by that, I think.
Well,
it's just a guess though, man.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that. But I think, yeah, it has something to do with some of them songs. Like some songs, you know, they're right on the edge of being on the beat. And like you said, I don't know if that's not the singers. It's just the song. It pushes the beat. It pushes right up against that beat.
It does something. Yeah. Yeah. And you would really have to know what you're talking about or doing to know, even know what we're talking about. But if somebody's listening to this being like, what the hell are they talking about? Know we're talking about something pretty cool.
These guys lost it.
We're talking about something pretty cool. You know, you want to do it 110%. You know, you want to do good. You hope you do good.
You sound like Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
when he's sitting in the lobby.
Hey, actually,
all right, what number you got? This
Upper Crossing song.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You gonna play this Upper Crossing tune again, dude? That's a killer song, though. I forgot. Actually, it does have a lot of that running in it, like that. It, you could tell.
Well, let's do it again.
Okay, do it, dude. It's good. It.
We listen to it once. This. Yeah. 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 Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, there's some singers, you can hear it in the lead, right? They got that old timey voice because they're not real bouncy.
These are the grandkids of Bill Baker, who was like the godfather of what we would call the modern style of singing, of straight singing. That's probably the best way to say it, is the modern style of straight singing.
I like that, the modern style.
Because really, we're all kind of mimicking him, that role, that real distinct role in Paula singing.
Yeah.
Kind of seemed to come from, other than that, it was like when we listened to that Old Agency, that was kind of more of a vibrato, not a role, you know?
Yeah, there's not much of a role there. I was thinking of reminds me of Kevin Kicking Woman. He's got that real, there's not a lot of role in it. I can't describe it, but if you ever hear him bust out.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Versus like Ronnie Doni, who's like all roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think sometimes we can over roll.
Overroll. Yeah. There's some over rollers. Yeah,
there's some over roll, man. There is some over roll. Michael Frambois is super influenced by that style of singing, like that, that like real high kind of Badlands.
Yeah. No, you're
like
right.
Blackfoot Crossing, like.
Yeah.
Real high.
Yeah, yeah. Way up there. I can't sing up like there. That anymore. I tried.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Sean Dean was a pretty rank singer, man. Like, woo!
I tried.
I just actually listened to a recording of you taking a lead. Big Bear at Rocky Boy, like a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was a few years ago. But yeah, that was a number of years ago. That was probably my last time really, really singing. And I hadn't since.
That aught six?
No, not that far back. No, it was
aught nine.
Maybe 2016. I don't remember.
I don't either. Last time I really really pushed singing, it's been over 10 years. Like really went for it, you know. So
yeah, I know.
It's not that I lost interest, I started focusing on other types of singing, but also like filling my brain full of songs, you know?
Yeah. That powwow singing is it's very transient, you know. You don't hold on to the songs for very long. You learn a few, you sing them out, then you're done, then go on to the next, and you might sing a whole new set of songs. Very few are repeated.
In fact, I think it can ruin singers for that.
Yeah.
Where you, like, if you get picked or hired on to sing with a drum that weekend, I know I'm not going to pick any songs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be asked to pick any songs.
Yeah.
And so my job is just to sing. So you almost don't exercise your brain to, like, have recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like some of these older guys, like a more what we would call a traditional powwow, like at a dance. Yeah. That's all it is recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then if you're sitting there with five guys and he's already picked two or three songs, and they'll be like, well, what do you want to sing? So there's a lot more of that. Like, you pick a song now. You pick a song now. And
yeah.
So you got to recall, you know. Yeah. I've been doing that. I've been singing like here and stuff with kind of the smaller stuff. And
yeah. But the songs, you know, are going to get repeated again at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to a crow dance right now, like a non contest powwow, kind of a crow dance, what we would just call a dance, there'll be, say, there's 50 songs sung.
Yeah.
30 of them are going to be songs you sung at the last place.
Yeah.
In fact, people look forward to it. See, that's another thing. It's like there's people who, like, they know you're going to sing these 5-6 songs, so they're going to want to listen to it. Or the women want to sing backup for those songs.
Yeah.
Or like at powwows, it's almost like, if you sang those three intertribals on Saturday night, 3 weekends in a row, Christ, man, people will, like, talk about you.
Yeah, I sang that 2 weeks ago.
I think it's worse with singing, like contemporary styles. And we didn't even get into that in that little.
Oh, no, we didn't.
That little tour there.
We had to go. We should walk down a contempt tour next time. That's an interesting one. That's an interesting
walk. I've come to grips with this. Yeah. I'm a fan of contempt singing.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm not a contempt singer because I physically cannot. Like, for one, I don't know how to say a lot of them words. And like that style of drumming is exhausting to me. But I like, there's like some killer tunes, man, that are just like, I just heard this Blackstone recording, from is a live recording on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's a song that was on that old Blackstone Fort Duchesne recording.
Oh, really?
You remember that tape?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it just was like, man, this song, that's cool. It's just cool, man. Like, contempt singing in a lot of ways saved singing.
Yeah.
Because it, like, died out. Then you had groups like Blackstone and
remember Aaron Tutusis was talking about that. Kind of made it popular with the young people.
A
certain style of round dance singing with the English words. He was saying that kind of saved it. Yeah, I think
I said, had it not been for that style of round dance singing, I probably would have never stuck with singing the way I did.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have got into ranching and farming.
Yeah, I still might do that. I don't know.
I don't know. It's still in the cards. I don't know. Who knows?
Why limit yourself?
Right. So anyway, there's that one white guy.
Yeah, anyway. Yep. Back to the white guy. Speaking of a white guy, so remember Calling Mountain?
Yeah, Calling Mountain. That was going to be my question. That was my question.
Okay, let's do it.
That's the question. I mean, so yeah, there's always that one person. Some people, I don't know what they call them these days or whatever they are, allies or I don't know what. But
allies?
I don't know what they call them. I don't know what to call them. What do you call them? I don't know what to call them.
White folk, man.
I don't know. But they live on the res. They know all the stuff. But my question was, can they ever get the singing seems like to be a challenging one. You can know everything about the ways and the custom and belief, and you can assimilate into all that, but can outsiders actually, like the conversation we just had, and to be able to sing, not in in those many different styles, but be able to sing and sound, I guess the question is to sound authentic. Have you seen that? And you said, you mentioned the one, Calling Mountain. They sounded very Calling authentic. Mountain,
they sounded legit, and they never even lived on a res, man.
Yeah. They never did. You're right. Where'd they live? Like in Dillon or something?
Right? Is it Dillon or like Big Sky? Is it Big Sky, Montana?
Maybe. I don't know.
Something I can't remember, but they would actually go to powwows. They would set up. They looked like ZZ Top.
Big beards.
And I think people teased them, but once they started singing, I think people respected quality no matter what. And those white boys could sing, man.
Yeah.
They could. I wouldn't say they'd win a drum contest by any means, but they were doing it right. And I think that tells you something about Indian people. It's like, yeah, you could be a rocking crew, but if you're like, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
It comes out like it's noticeable.
It is. It is.
You know,
it is. And I think that's also comes out in other ways as well in a person and an outsider's efforts to be part of the Indian community, I guess. But yeah, I'm thinking
is that appropriation?
I don't know. That's a good one. I know, you know, the whole Kamloops powwow debacle, you've seen all that going off on social media because of their old rules they had, and people was making a big deal about Kamloops wanting to have you show your proof of one quarter blood or something like that. And their explanation was that, well, somebody had came in who wasn't native at all and won a contest of some sort. And it,
well, was he good?
I don't know the background story behind it, but that was kind of and I guess they said it was an old rule that was from a couple decades ago. They just never changed. You know, you just reprint the program from the previous powwow and you just keep carrying your rules over and you don't really care to update them. Because
I mean, but do they need updated?
I don't know.
See, I mean, is there anything wrong with boundaries?
No, I don't think so.
I'll ask the hard-hitting question.
Do it.
Doesn't mean I have the answers, but is what Kamloops did wrong?
I don't know. I mean, if those rules had been there, right? They've been there. They said these rules they've been there for, I don't know. I'm just guessing. I think it's a decade or more. I don't know. But it was only until somebody made a big deal about it that it became an issue.
You got to do it for Indian rodeo.
Yeah. One quarter. You got to be one quarter blood.
I think it's I think you have to have, you can be a descendant, but it's still proof of descendancy.
You got to show some proof.
Yeah. And you can't enter a rodeo without a cowboy hat and a button up shirt. Like there's rules. You know what I mean? Like,
is that true? You can't?
Like it's a thing. Like even rodeos where you can't be behind the bucking chutes without a cowboy hat on.
You're kidding me.
That would be a horrible joke if I was using this as a joke.
So you can't show up with your boonie hat hanging out behind the bucking chutes or your hard hat.
I think you can wear a hat anytime, like a cap, but I think when you compete, you have to wear the cowboy. Yeah. It's like the jersey. It's like a jersey, I guess. So, I mean, I don't...
But the bull riding, they don't wear cowboy hats no more. They all wear...
If you're born after... I can't remember the date, but you have to wear a helmet if you're born after a certain time.
What?
If you're born before that, you're grandfathered in, you can wear the hat.
But really?
See, a lot of these, because they don't want to wear the helmet. So they had to make a hard and fast rule.
Really?
But so like, here's the thing with powwow though. It's like, this is to me what happens when you take a traditional concept.
Yeah.
And turn it into something that's commercialized because you're going to get commercial things with it.
Yeah.
So nobody's saying, I think you can't. I'm a dude, right? If I wanted to be a jingle dress dancer, I'm going to go be a jingle dress dancer. Yeah. I don't think anyone's saying you can't be that.
Right.
What they're saying, though, is if you're going to try to win money from us, you got to be, you can compete with the girls, but I'm going to lose to them. I'm not a good jingle dish dancer. I don't know. I'm not saying I have the right answers. I'm not even saying what I believe anything I'm even saying, because I don't even know what I'm really talking about.
You're riding the fence, partner. You were talking a good game. Now you're riding the fence.
Well, for one, because I don't have that issue.
Right.
I know exactly which category I would be in had I been a dancer. So right. I'm not the one with this, like, I don't have this, like, where do I go thing.
Yeah.
Well, what about pro style dancers who have to compete in Northern style?
Right.
Is that wrong? Are you not recognizing the Crow Hot dancer when he comes to your powwow? Now you're being inconsiderate.
I feel like you're attacking me. I feel like you're attacking me, like I'm the committee.
Well, you live in BC.
I'm about ready to get defensive. I'm not.
You live in BC, and I feel like
God dang it.
So okay, here's the thing.
All right.
So whether it's gender, whether it's race or identity, the thing about tribal people is that if you own a right, let's just say Sean Dean.
Okay.
I know of your particular involvement in your guys' ceremonies. And if I know that, and I'm not even from your tribe, but I was a member of your community for a long time, I'm aware of its public role. So I'm like, well, if someone came to me and said, I need help, I need to go talk to certain people.
Yeah.
I would say, I know those people who hold those positions. Okay.
Right.
Now, what if I come along and say, well, that's how I feel. I feel like I should have that position. Someone in your role would say, that's not how it works, though.
Right.
You can feel a lot of things.
Right.
But the fact remains, right, whether it's a very formal system, a very informal system, it's still there. That right has to be recognized by the public, really, and especially those who hold positions in that whatever thing we're talking about. So when somebody comes to me and says, I identify as an Indian. Okay. Who else recognizes that?
Yeah, that's an important one.
Because everything else we do in Indian country has to be recognized by another. Because, and people can say we're wrong. People can say that, but that's the facts.
Yeah.
In Crow country, you have to own the right to speak in public, to address the crowd. If you don't own that right and you come and say, I'm going to talk to the crowd, somebody will say, where did you get your right?
Yeah.
They want to verify that you own this right to speak in public.
Yeah.
Is that wrong of that society to do that?
No, it's not. It's their
right. It's their right. So let's put that in Kamloops shoes. What if Kamloops says, no, these are our rules?
Yeah.
Who are we to say, like, that's their dance? They own that dance for that weekend.
It's their territory, their country.
It's their territory. And then we come in and say, you guys are wrong, blah, 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 blah. You shouldn't recognize them. Now whose rights are we stepping on?
Yeah. God dang it.
So what do you, I mean, I guess it turned out that Kamloops was like, oh, they're antiquated rules. I personally think they just said they rolled over and kind of got scared, but
yeah,
people were dropping out. It rattled the cage, but
yeah,
I feel like it's not my position to tell another tribe how to run their dance.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, when you're invited to a powwow by another tribe, they usually will say, come and celebrate with us.
Yeah. Yeah,
they don't say, hey, you bring your celebration to us.
Yeah. 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 Bring your rights and traditions and everything along with it.
There's a lot of issues I've had over the years with Arlie Powwow. And for as much, I lived there for 13 years.
Yeah.
In Arlie, I lived there for 13 years. I never had a right to change it.
That's not my right. That's not my place.
Yeah.
So I think we got to be careful about how liberal we get with our own thing. Yeah, this is powwow and this is a different thing. I'm just using it as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But so then this goes back to this other topic about white people and joining the things we do and
yeah,
how closed is closed and what should we share. And it gets tough because I think as when you're a member of a community, whether you're enrolled or not, you know your limits.
Yeah.
With that thing. If you're introduced to it properly.
Yeah.
I'll use myself as an example. So I moved to Flathead when I was 18.
Yeah.
I was befriended by who I would say are the on the more traditional side of things over there. And
yeah,
people took me in, publicly announced to people that I was being taken as a son.
Yeah.
I was recognized in the community by what I would think is the traditional people.
Yeah.
But at no point did I think I had say in how those things should happen, or I didn't claim to be, I'm the fire keeper for whatever, you know, like I never did that. I just kind of,
you weren't assigned a role.
No. And even if they would have given me one, I would have said, I would have probably did it out of respect for that moment. But I never pushed anybody out, man. Like I, no way, you know. Yeah. I don't know, you were witness to pretty much my entire time there. What do you think?
No, you're right. It doesn't work like that. It's not like you can hand out things, like a person can hand out these designations. There's just not someone who can do that. Maybe per family, they want to recognize somebody and have them help out in a certain way, but tribal wide, that's not here. It just doesn't work like that. Yeah. And
it's not here either, really.
Yeah. And I think you're right. A person with the right amount of modesty would recognize that, yeah, you come into a community, you're not just going to try to take over, even if somebody it's trying to decide that for you. That's just not, you just don't do that. It's just not a place for anybody to, no matter who says it. Yeah. You got to kind of step back and gauge your own familiarity and awareness with the people and the need of the community with your own ego and adjust your responsibility accordingly. That's really important. And that's, not doesn't always happen that way. That was kind of depressing. You kind of brought the whole podcast down with that little diatribe on your life. I'm not the one. This sounds like an episode of who's the guy? The psychologist or the doctor? What is his name? What gives you the right?
We probably lost listeners. We probably lost listeners. Once they hear this part of the podcast, they're going to be like, these guys think they know everything. I mean, but there's just some stuff you do know, though. I know that for at least tribes in our region, you could call it transfers, you can call it rights, you can call it positions, you can call it. And those positions are only as good as the people who recognize them in a lot of ways.
Yeah. No, that's so 100% the truth.
100% that is. I mean, and I don't mean to offend anybody or anything, but if your community does not recognize the thing you're claiming, then I'm sorry. Whether you think the Great Spirit gave it to you or not, the public is just as important.
I
remember one time you were doing that scalp dance and you announced in there that the witness, and I don't know how you said this, but the witness had a position there in that dance. to bear witness to what is happening so you can say who was involved. That's important because, like,
it is.
Someone, it's real important when people say, oh, I seen that when they gave so-and-so this, or when they did this, or when these were the people involved. That's important, man. That's like...
Yeah, if you have two witnesses versus 100 witnesses, then the story gets straight pretty quick. The story gets
real quick,
really quick. There's no question. There's zero question. Yeah, that is important.
And we've somehow kind of adopted that insular kind of like way of thinking. It's like, well, this is how I feel. I don't have to tell you where I got this. It's like, the f- you do.
Yeah,
you do.
That's really the foundation of being kind of being in a tribe or a tribal unit, you know. the individual.
Yeah, it's a group.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. I'm sounding like a.
If I come off the mountain and claim to have this power, and then I can't verify it, it's almost like a pet peeve, you know? Like,
I know. Yeah.
Because I hear people say this stuff and I'm like, okay, I understand that culture loss is important. I mean, that's the world I live in, right?
Yeah.
And I know that, like, there's certain tribes that have lost certain things.
Yeah.
But I would actually say that's more of an argument for the public verification.
Yeah, it is.
The witness for that reason.
It is. It would strengthen everything. It would strengthen everything.
Yep.
It would.
Yep.
Like, darn it.
And I won't say any names here, but we have a person on the res who identifies as a woman, dresses like a woman. Everyone knows this individual as a woman.
Yeah.
When we go into the Sundance, there's a position place designated for the woman.
Yeah.
For the women. And that's where she stands.
Yeah.
She doesn't stand in, like, the middle of the men and the women. Like, she doesn't. There's no, like, he's right there with the women. So to me, that says the public recognizes what she says.
Right.
It's verified.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, in that case, yeah. Certainly.
In that case, certainly. I'm not arguing with it. It's recognized. It's verified.
You'd have to fight 100 like, people to change it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Fist fight. Break dance fight. So when the Kamloops stuff first got brought up, I was like, what the hell, Kamloops?
Yeah.
But then I started thinking, like, wait a second. If we're recognizing sovereignty and we're recognizing, like, the First Nations of Canada.
Yeah.
Sovereignty, you have the sovereign right to make good and bad decisions to govern your own people.
Yeah.
Sovereignty is neither good inherently bad. Good or inherently bad. It's you can do, and so if that's what they want to do, who are we?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real pompous, man. Like, real arrogant to be like, hey, independent tribal nation, change the way you're thinking, you know? Like, come on, dude.
Oh man, what did I
do? And the people who are bitching,
I opened it
the
up.
The people who are bitching about the Kamloops stuff are the same people who talk about decolonization and indigenizing and all this shit. They're the ones that need the lesson, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a limit.
There's a time and a place to call people out on their shit. There's also a time and a place to know when you don't have that right to do it.
Yeah. And everyone has the right to boycott and protest if they don't like it.
Yep.
I mean, that's.
And you have the right to bitch.
Yeah, you do.
You have the right to bitch. Kamloops does not have the obligation to change anything.
No.
That's what I would say. The public has the right to say something.
Right. Yeah. And if they felt the public had something to say about it that would change their ways, then that's their right to change it also.
That is their right.
There's a lot of rights. There's a lot of rights going on.
Rights and lefts and Oh no. Anyway, white folk.
Oh yeah, yeah. We, yeah, let's get back to that. No, no. We should. We need to talk about that more, though. But maybe.
Okay, so we'll do a part two to this deal.
Let's do it, because this is an interesting one, and I think if we can pull in a guest, that might be able to speak a little bit more on their experience.
I know just kind of cool. The guy,
and you know of a guy, and
I got think... a white guy.
we got one. To come in.
We got one. I go.
All right.
Got a white guy.
Let's do it.
And so let's pose the question, though. We'll kind of finish. Maybe we'll finish with like a 10-minute rant about this. Huh?
Yeah. What's the thought? What's the thought? Let's
so
do 5 minutes.
What we're
yeah.
talking about is several layers here. First of all, several. Do white people have a role in either social organization or like ceremonial life of tribes? First, that's the big question, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The second question is, if they do have a role in there, how far is their involved? How much involvement is it? Do they get like a pared down version of it? I have a lot of questions about this. And actually, a few weeks back, I called you and I said, I was ranting and raving about something.
Yeah.
And what it was, I won't say any names, but I had witnessed a particular ceremony where there was quite a number of non-Indian people.
Okay.
And the question I asked you at the time, I think, was, is it good or bad? And I think I said something about, is it interruptive? Didn't I say that?
Maybe. Something to that effect, think, though.
Something like something that, yeah, that like effect. I said, can it actually be interruptive, or am I just in the wrong? Does the people running the dance ultimately have the right, which that's what I believe. The people in the dance, that running the dance or the ceremony ultimately have the right to say, we can have 4 white people, we can have 400 white people. It's their, that's their right.
Yeah, yeah. You talked about this during, about the Sundance and the whole picture taking, no picture taking thing, and it being up to the leader at that time whether they would allow it or not. It's not up to anybody else to decide. I think something
yeah like and that. Those rules, and I've known of those rules to vary.
Yeah,
and that's where that leader would allow what that weekend, next time he did it, he didn't allow it. It's completely up to that person who owns that position.
Right.
So I think what we'll do, and you just mentioned it, we'll bring in a guy we know who's done research in Indian country, who teaches at or works at a tribal college. I think he teaches there. And has actually had personal experience with what he personally coined to me as kind of like overstepping or like being interruptive a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And having to be put in his place and in his words, but and the benefits of that.
Yeah.
Because he kind of talked about it as a positive, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'll read you this text and maybe we'll finish with this, huh?
Let's do it. I want to hear it.
Or do you?
No.
He sent me this text and he says, we were kind of talking about this. Non-Indian involvement in ceremony. So he says, yeah, as a non-Indian, I noticed that it is really important to recognize that my own curiosity about doings can be interruptive when I really just want to support what's happening. Sometimes wannabes, this is his words, barge in and they need to just learn where the line is. But afterwards, it's really on them to figure out how to participate without being intrusive. Then he goes on to say, the spiritually bankrupt are shopping for a new religion, and this affects everyone who sees these people as role models. So he was kind of talking about these non-Indian folk who get involved and almost become kind of like
gurus.
these gurus kind of go betweens, you know?
Yeah.
So, and you actually, I know we'll talk about this more next time. You actually had had to mitigate some of this before, where you there was, because of your own involvement and your tribe stuff, where you guys said, "Hey, we got to reassess what's going on here."
Yeah,
because of outside involvement.
Yeah,
and I know of other tribes who've had to do that too. The Crows are about 10, 20 years behind everybody, because of the nature and the steps of culture loss. Like, we're kind of going through this, like, we're still doing that, hey, thanks for coming kind of thing, you know? So
that's interesting. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That wave, and where it misses certain places, eventually starting to catch up.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's call it there, man. This was a good one. The music thing, it's always unexpected, but I like to hear it. I like to talk.
You know what I think it is? It's because we know it.
Yeah. 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 So how interesting is it to other people? I don't know.
But hey, man, I think people listen to this podcast to get a sense of what Indian people like to talk about, not what we think people should like to talk about. This is what I like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bet that was educational
to be an Indian.
Educational to hear the different, like three things that sounded probably maybe same to them, but us kind of breaking it apart.
Well, at the beginning of the next podcast, let's do that. All right. Let's run some contempt ones through.
Let's do it. That's gonna be a fun one. All right then.
Peace.
Mau. It's over. All right. Thank you for tuning in. I want to take some time to thank some of our Patreon sponsors. We've got Emma LaFave, Ryan Swanson, Marzana J, Rachel Holster, Todd Davis, Louise Erdrich, Jason Friage, and Mary Bobbitt. Thank you so much for your continued contribution to help keep the show on the air. And I also want to take time to thank some of our past sponsors. We've had Annie Ost pitching in. Thank you for your donation. And also Brian Carpenter, additional thank you for pitching in and helping the show stay on the air.